Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, Graham, thank you so much for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. Firstly, to Pastor Hal and Jill, thank you for everything you've done to create such a wonderful light on a hill, as Pastor Graham said. I must say, Graham and I met a few years ago, and can I say that in that meeting I walked away feeling as though certainly Oxley, built on wonderful foundations, its best years were ahead of it, largely because of the leadership that Graham has showed. But today, seeing so many committed and dedicated volunteers and staff, it's clear that he has a wonderful team behind him. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself today. I'm going to avoid difficult or controversial political topics. But I think it's interesting that Graham asked me to speak today, a day when really your emphasis on the role that every individual plays in the mission of your church. And that in some way, shape or form, every division, every individual, every leader is in some way playing a role in furthering the mission that Pastor Hal envisaged and so many others envisaged 60 years ago. From my perspective, I grew up as a Catholic. I'm still a Catholic. I'm actually a Maronite Catholic. Many of you probably have never heard of a Maronite Catholic before. That's because my father's from Lebanon, and Lebanon Christians, or certainly about half of them, are Maronites. And one of the reasons why we call ourselves Maronites is that for about 800 years, when Lebanon, the Christians in Lebanon, was encircled by the Ottoman Empire, suffering grave persecution, they lost all contact to the Vatican. So they were this little island of Christians who fought very, very hard for 800 years just to survive. And that has been my background. I shouldn't forget my wonderful mother, of course, who's a Presbyterian. And I'll speak about my wife soon, who's a Baptist. So we're very ecumenical in my house. But I grew up in a strong Catholic household. Pretty humble beginnings, to be perfectly honest. Not humble in the most important element, and that was love. We had an abundance of love in our family. So whenever I say humble, I feel a little bit guilty because, yes, we were humble in material terms, but we were rich in every other way. And being a leader in Parliament now, being a representative of our community in our national parliament, can I say the most important element of any society is the love and the stability in the home. The love and the stability in a family environment. And so many of our problems that we face stem from dysfunction, tragedy, difficulties and sadness in the family environment. So I grew up in a relatively humble environment, and I was very keen as a young man to grow up and become a lawyer, earn a lot of money and be a really rich guy. I'll be honest, that was my plan. I felt that I wanted all these great material things. So I did it. I went out, I studied, I did law, I got a pretty good job. I'd met my now wife, Anna, when I was 20. She was 18 when we met. We went through university together. And I saw it as my obligation and my duty to focus solely on what material possessions I could provide for my future family and my future wife. When I was 26, that all came crashing down. Graham referred to my bio, which talks about me being an avid basketballer. Well, I was an avid basketballer. At the age of 26, fit and healthy, a lot fitter than I am now, running down the basketball court, I collapsed, had a cardiac arrest. Heart just stopped. I wasn't breathing for about 9 minutes. Now, anyone here who's got any medical background will know, not breathing for 9 minutes, the likelihood of coming through that, firstly alive, and then secondly coming through that without any serious and significant, particularly ongoing cognitive issues, is highly unlikely. Now, after that event, the doctors found out I'd actually had a heart defect from birth, undiagnosed, that often you don't realise is an issue until something quite devastating occurs. But luckily, I was on a basketball court with a doctor, a nurse, and I never get this word right, an anaesthetist. Now, that's a pretty good trio to be on a basketball court with, if I do say so. And in my recovery, I didn't have a light globe moment where I thought, okay, now you've got to commit and dedicate yourself to God or commit and dedicate yourself to our community. But when I look back now, it was certainly the point at which the seed was planted for me. That actually there's something quite hollow about just pursuing material gain and material possessions. And so for a few years I started to do some more work with some charities. I created a whole pro bono practice where I did legal work for charities and others. That gave me a great sense of satisfaction. But there was still something missing. And then over a summer break, while sitting on the beach with my now wife, Anna, I said, I'm feeling as though I'm being called to serve our community in a different way, in a more significant way. What do you think about me running for Parliament? Well, it's fair to say Anna's not particularly enamoured with politics or politicians. So she was very lukewarm on it at the beginning. But over time, because no decision this significant would I make without her complete blessing, we decided jointly that that was what I was being called to do and I should do it. So in the meantime, we'd got married. As I said, a very, very ecumenical family that I come from. I was actually in the front row here with Graham at the beginning and I went to sit down. And Graham said, Michael, this isn't Catholic Church, stand up. And I said, that's okay, because it took me back to the time that Anna, when we first met, I was 20 and she was 18, and we were working in retail together when we met. And she said to me, Michael, I'd like you to come to my church. I thought, fantastic, I'd love to go and see your church. Her church at the time was, for some of you who may know it, it's now called New Hope Baptist. It was then called North Blackburn Baptist. I walked in there and I said, Anna, why is there a band set up on stage? Where's the church? Where's the big cross? So over many years, and Anna's still very connected to the Baptist church, and I'm still very connected to the Catholic church, we make it work. And actually, our values, what we believe, and really what we are teaching now, as much as you can teach a nine-month-old, Leo, we think is completely consistent within the framework of both of our faiths. So I say that as an aside because Anna had been with me the whole time. Through the days of studying, through the days of working as a lawyer. I was a lawyer. I was working 20 hours a day. Maybe I exaggerate that a bit. I was working 16 hours a day. It felt like 20 hours. I was working 16 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. I was travelling around the world. I thought it was this really glamorous life. And then, as I said, everything came crashing down. So then after all of that process of finding what it is I wanted to do to help our world, I decided to run for Parliament and get into politics. Now, can I say that arriving in Canberra as I was the second youngest member of Parliament at the time that I was elected, but arriving there as the sort of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed new member of parliament, it was a complete shock for me. A shock in a good way in some respects that so many of the people who seek to be elected to our parliament are there for absolutely the reasons we would want. And despondency that that wasn't the case for so many as well. And the question I often ask myself is, how would I avoid falling into the cynicism that I saw in so many members of parliament who'd been there for such a long time? They would say things like, Michael, you're just a small cog in a big machine. Pick a couple of little things that you want to address, try to see if you can impact those, but you can't change the world here. That cynicism, which I think had worn them down over many, many years. Now, after 5 years, I don't think I have fallen for that cynicism. But I do believe that we have some serious and significant issues, and I think as Christians, it's incumbent on us, as much as anybody else, but probably more incumbent on us, to take the lead. My experience of Christians in politics is we're a bit shy to offend anyone. We're a bit shy to have difficult conversations. We don't ever want to be accused of imposing our values on others. And I completely understand and I completely get that. But as Christians, we're the salt and the light. And we do have a duty and an obligation where we see issues to stand up, be proud of our heritage, be proud of our values, and fight for them. It's actually incumbent on us to fight for them, because our duty is to hand over to our children and our grandchildren a society that is better than what we inherited from our forefathers. That is the duty on each and every one of us. Now, a lot of Christians, I find, think politics is a really dirty business. It's there's a lot of unscrupulous people. Why would I want to get involved? And when I was flirting with the idea of getting into politics, John Anderson, former Deputy Prime Minister, I saw one of his speeches on YouTube. And I was reflecting on it this morning, and I hope some will have heard this story, and I'm not going to tell it half as well as, or this analogy, I won't tell it half as well as John. But he spoke about our community and our society a bit like a beautiful bunch of flowers that you see in the window of a florist. And in fact, anyone that can see down the front here, this beautiful bunch of flowers that's sitting in front of me. And he says, Our culture and our society is a lot like a beautiful bunch of flowers. It's been completely disconnected from the life-giving nutrients in the soil. And for our society and our culture, the life-giving nutrients and the soil is clearly our Judeo-Christian heritage. Clearly. Now, the flowers will look beautiful for a certain period of time after you cut them from the rose bush. No doubt. They'll look beautiful for a few days. In fact, you can, you know, add the little additive to the water to keep them looking nice for even a bit longer. But in the end, those flowers will wither and die. And John Anderson's theory was, our society is so much like that because we have become completely disconnected from the foundations, the roots, the nutrients, the goodness, which created this beautiful society that we now look at. And we say, isn't our society beautiful? We're fair. We're an egalitarian society. There's an equality of opportunity for most people. But his fear was, just like a beautiful rose that had been cut from the rose bush, how much longer could that be the case? And that resonated with me. It stuck with me. Now, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a priest, I'm not a Christian politician. I'm a politician who happens to be a Christian. But my message to each of you today, in line with the dedication of all of the staff that we spoke about earlier, each and every one of you have some role to play, however big or small you're willing to make it, to ensure that our community, our society, does not completely lose its connection with those things which we know make our family strong, it therefore makes our children strong, it then makes our adults strong, and of course it makes our society strong. That's what I've dedicated my life to. It's something that I take very seriously. It's a great honour to be elected by your peers to do that. It's not something I take for granted. I don't go out there and browbeat people about my religious values or my religious beliefs, but I hope in me they see someone who at least tries to live by them and tries to ensure that our society, to the greatest extent possible, adheres to those things, those values, those institutions which have stood the test of time. And I think if we can do that, while of course embracing the future, we will be a happy, a healthy, a fulfilled society, and I hope a society with a close relationship with Jesus and a society that in many respects seeks to further what Jesus asks of us in the gospel. So you are an embodiment of that. Pastor Hal, Pastor Nelson, they are the embodiment of that, and so many volunteers are. So really today my message is, be brave, don't hide under a bushel. Yes, you have more success with people by convincing them than by browbeating them, but by all means, we have an obligation as Christians to ensure that our society and our community is stronger than the one we've inherited. And I thank you because you here at LMC are doing that every day, and in any way that I can support you, I certainly will. Thanks for listening to me and thanks for having me. God bless.